A man can have anything if he's willing to sacrifice. This is Darren DePaul, the voice of Valkorion, and you're listening to Passionately Casual Podcast with Jesse, JT, and Sicari. And I will share this podcast with you if you will only kneel.
Hi, and welcome to Passionately Casual Podcast, a SWTOR podcast for Unholy Alliance and Wookiee Mistake Guild on the Harbinger server. Our podcast is a proud member of Mog Nation. You know her from the many dance party appearances on the SWTOR Galaxy, always making Wog Wogalicious, and showed up to the studio right after her Toon's prom dress fitting. Here's Jesse.
Hi, JT. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing excellent. We're also joined tonight by our friend, the streamer who's bringing sexy back to SWTOR. It's Sicari.
Ooh, sexy back to SWTOR. Very nice. It must be the man bun.
It's all
about the man bun. Well, this week we got plenty of guild events and game news to share with you.
And of course, we will be covering this month's producer's live stream. And this episode also features a SWTOR community roundtable about player-generated group content.
Find out more about our guild and our show at unholyalliance.org or wookiemistake.com. And remember, Wookiee has two E's. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at @PC_podcast.
So guys, what's going on with the guilds this week? Lots of interesting stuff happening.
Yes, we do have some very interesting stuff happening. The one that I'm looking forward to probably the most is, of course, prom that is coming up on March 19th, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So everybody make sure to be there because I'm looking forward to it. I still have to get a tune leveled up and ready to go. But those of you who are wanting to be there, absolutely show up. It's the Wookiee Mistake Guild Ship, the Bowcaster is where it'll be. They'll be dancing and, of course, dueling because we can't stop people from doing that. And a fashion show, which is always going to be fun. And then just bring your OnePlus. You bring your other person if you'd like. It could be a companion or a guildmate, anybody you want. Come stag. It's cool. You know, we won't even make fun of you. One thing I want to make sure everybody knows about this as well is that we're going to be putting a link up on the website that you can go to that'll take you to a Google Drive folder, and we'll make it available so that you can submit YouTube links and MP3s and anything that you want to do for song requests. So we'll make sure that that's available too on the website.
That's going to be awesome. I think that'll be extra fun. We always have, of course, music and dancing at all of our parties. But generally, I make the playlist and then Moxie ignores it and plays music from the 80s instead. But the idea this time is to have people's like favorite prom songs or the songs that they, you know, dance to maybe at their own proms if they went up there. So we have a nice variety of music that everybody enjoys. So please do that. You can put a link to your song, or if you happen to have the MP3, you can just drop it right in the drive.
And definitely want to make sure everybody knows that Wookiee Mistake is a Republic guild, so that will be Republic side only for this.
Yeah, Pub side only for this one. We just had our Imperial only event last month, so we wanted to give Pub side a little bit of special love. And we have a really nice guild ship on the Pub side too. I mean, people who came and saw our Imperial guild ship who hadn't been there before were so impressed. Well, I'm here to tell you that our Pub side ship is very different, of course, being the Republic side, but it's just stunning. So you want to make sure to come and sign up for that. And remember too that because it's being held on a guild ship, you don't have to have a high level tune to come. You don't even have to be high enough level to have your own traveling ship. You just need to have a level one character in like some really swanky threads.
That sounds like fun. I can't wait for that. We also have the March screenshot contest, and it's called at Caption This. There's two screenshots with chat bubbles, and that's on the Passionately Casual podcast and also our the guild websites. You can check those out. For your chance to win, just add your clever, funny, or dramatic dialogue to one or both the screenshots. Guild members, like I said, can enter on the website. And everyone else, please go to the Passionately Casual Twitter, @PC_podcast, and enter for your 60-day sub prize, because we love prizes.
Yeah, we do. So we'll have a couple prizes for runners up, but yeah, that the person who has the best caption for one or both of the photos actually will win a 2-month SWTOR subscription, which is kind of cool just for having fun. So do that. Along with our social events, we've also got the Parade of Strongholds. We're doing that as a cooperative event with our friends over at Utini Knights and Utini Rage. So that's going to be bifactional, and we're just going to go around and see everybody's super cool strongholds and see people are already getting down and decorating them. Like we have one friend who's making like a Mandalorian enclave with his stronghold and like whatever theme you're going for. I was saying when I was talking to the Utini guys that I think I'm going to make a spring break sort of retreat theme on my Tatooine stronghold for this particular event. So that one's going to be in April. It's on April 9th. It's going to be, like I said, sponsored by both the Utini Guild and by our guild. So please make sure to come to that. We'll have more information on our website about that too.
A spring break theme. So you're just going to add more bars to your already stronghold?
And shirtless men. Oh, I think I'm maxed out on those. Thank heavens they're increasing the decorations cap. I guess I can put my shirtless Eric Jorgen.
So what have you guys all been doing this week in game?
Well, for me, I got into... I've brought one of my tunes so far through Kotfi, only actually up to chapter 10. I haven't dove in yet to 11 with him, but I was thinking I really am anxious to explore that story on another character. And I thought, well, what better choice than my main, who is my scoundrel? But then when I went in and I pushed the little button, the mission terminal on your ship, and it says, okay, you're going to go into this and you won't be able to come back. Are you sure? And I said, yes. And then it did another pop-up and said, no, seriously, Jesse, are you sure? And I said, no, I'm not sure. And I backed out of it because I am so, like, scared, or, like, it makes me sad to think about taking her out of the origin game where, like, she was my very first tune ever. And I feel really attached kind of to all my companions. And, of course, I married Corso. And I know, spoiler alert, that you're separated from your companions for a while once you go into Kotfi, and you can't go back and talk to them or anything. So in the end, I couldn't do it. And then I just ended up taking my character into my stronghold and, like, taking lots of, like, sad, forlorn pictures with Corso, like, sad goodbye pictures and getting all weepy. So in the end, I said, well, I'll just make a decision about this later. So I burned up all my playtime by taking screenshots and going through a box of Kleenex. So that was my week in game. How about you, Sakari? What did you get up to?
Jess, I can't tell if you are, like, too committal or too non-committal in all of that.
There's a chance I'm, like, half and half. I don't know what that makes me.
So you're, like, too committed to Corso, but then you're, like, not committed. And, you know, it's very difficult.
I don't typical woman.
Oh, so for me, this week or so, there's been a lot going on in real life, so I haven't actually had that much time to play in-game as much as I would like. But the time that I have actually spent in-game, I've been streaming for most of it, and it's been crazy. One discussion that I had, I thought, you know what, let's just show up in the stream and let me wear a man bun just for the fun of it. I used to do this way back. And came in there with a man bun, and I actually discovered the hard way that the man bun is actually out of style now. Apparently now it's the man braid. So I wasn't warned about that, and I showed up, you know, way out of style. And then, of course, Boomy dropped by, and you know, whenever Boomy drops by, it's just only barely PG-13, so that was a lot of fun. And, it's been crazy. And I've been experiencing these weird, basically when I upgraded to Windows 10, my whole frame rate for my stream kind of took a dip, and I've been struggling with that and fighting with that. So, I think Mox is the one who told me, hey, try Volk put a article up there about going to basically install DirectX 9 libraries into, you know, because of course SWTOR was designed to use DirectX 9. So I figured all that out and tried it, and I'm not sure if that's going to work, but I am hoping that would work. So that was kind of on my radar this week as well. Last night I managed to get in and stream chapter 11. That was a lot of fun. I got through that. I called it Naked Jorgy Night. That was a blast. Yeah, I actually had good fun, you know, laughing at that first little bit until I realized, oh wait, you have to restart this and do it all again. And then I wasn't, you know, it wasn't quite so much fun having to spacebar all the way through it. I like to experience it, you know. So one of the highlights for me was actually doing my first hard mode Star Fortress. I haven't actually done those yet. But Mox took me through, and that was really cool. We got to hang out and experience some stuff, and he was very experienced, and it was actually well worth doing with a guide for the first time. I will say that. And then the Republic SIS today decided to start a smear campaign against me, and there was a picture posted on Twitter of me drinking from a frozen cup. With, you know, the Let It Go Frozen, all those, the princesses.
So I don't know that song. Twitter. Would you sing a few today. Bars for us?
No, I will not. The Republic SIS is singing it enough.
If you are on Passionate Casual Podcast, you have to know that song. It's just required.
Yeah, because next year for Extra Life, that's going to not be a duet, but a trio.
I was going to say Let It Go, you guys. Just
see,
just
already he's got it.
Now, if I could just get you to bring that up an octave, we're good to go.
So, Sakari, where did they get that picture from?
It was photoshopped with terrible intent to smear my good Imperial reputation.
How about you, JT?
Well, actually, in-game, I have not been doing that much. I did get everything updated and downloaded because I have my new PC, so yay!
Hooray! I
got my new graphics card and everything like that, but yeah, still on the mend. It looks like it'll be another few weeks on that before I get to be able to where I'm playing full-time. So hopefully I might be able to get in a little bit. I'll definitely be there for the prom and stuff like that, so I can do a little stuff like that. However, when I did get it all installed and went last night and I wanted to get all my settings for graphics and stuff like that lined up, and I went and looked. I was 8 for 8 on the class stories and had all the gold to shiny. For whatever reason, I'm 7 for 8 now, so I'm like, what? So they're saying I have to log in with my Jedi Knight character one time or something like that.
Oh, interesting. I thought maybe they took it away from you. They figured like there was sort of like an expiration on it. Yeah, they're like,
right.
You haven't logged
you have
in
been
in
playing
so
for
long.
So long. We removed one class from you.
It will take one away a month until you come back.
And let's see, what else have I been doing? Well, I have been doing some other Star Wars gaming. I've still been doing my Galactic Heroes, so I'm enjoying that. That's a really fun game. If you need another thing to do on like your phone or your tablet, I recommend Star Wars Galactic. That's all that I've been doing, sort of pseudo game. And I've been following some of our streamers, so I've been, you know, sneaking around, watching Sakari fall off of things and stuff like that.
Oh, yes, indeed. It seems like whenever you show up in my stream, I do something very terribly embarrassing. And then I have to, like, and then I just know it's going to work its way into the podcast. So thanks. Appreciate that.
Anytime.
Okay, let's spend a little bit of time talking about what happened in game. More recently, one of the things that stands out to everybody the most is Nakey Jorgi Knight. We had the release of 4.2, an issue with Eric Jorgen not having any clothes. So I believe that with patch 4.2A, they have rectified that. So Jorgen should be wearing clothes now. And there are rumors as well in this patch that they managed to fix the telegraph issues that the operations were having. So we'll see what happens with those.
And of course, when we mention game news, we have to mention the March Developer Livestream, which is past week. It was nice to see Ben and Eric in there. And when they gave out shout-outs for the community members that were doing podcasts, video blogs, and blogs themselves, writing up different content for the game, I thought that was really cool to give them a shout-out to actually use a user-created video in the livestream. The new Warzone and Rishi Arena will be coming April 5th. Which is kind of exciting. They announced the new Warzone, but they had not given a date on the Rishi Arena, so that's kind of cool. They are putting those together in the next scheduled chapter update. And some of the direct changes that came into the Warzone are a result of the PTS. So that's kudos to all you guys that were in there and doing that testing for BioWare. Thank you.
So terrific that they brought the PTS back, and that was something that we talked about on our last episode, was sort of wondering why they had removed it from the game, and I'm just really thrilled that they're using it, they're using player feedback, and they're testing the content before they release it to us. I mean, that's what we need.
Exactly. And speaking of the PTS, the Eternal Championship. Delayed yet again, but they are going to bring it to the PTS to help you give Bioware some hand to figuring out what all is going wrong with this and to make sure they get it right before it goes live. So I'm happy that they're going to kind of shine it a little bit more and give a little more time on that before it goes into the game live. And so that will be late March when it hits the PTS. No release date on that, but they will give us more timeline on that, I believe April 5th, on the next developer live stream.
Yeah, they talked about how this will be content that you can do solo, or you can also do it in groups, but then you'll, of course, be rolling for the loot instead of getting it all yourself.
There'll be some weekly different missions with the group content that goes along with the Eternal Championships. And the other thing they announced was the April subscriber rewards, the HK weapon set, which will be a vibro sword, which looks pretty cool, and a pistol and a sniper rifle.
Yeah, I saw the pictures of that. They showed those up on the live stream, and I particularly like the vibrosword. It was very flashy.
Yes, the vibrosword reminded me a little bit of the old He-Man sword. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I have the power! No, I don't remember it.
She totally does.
I might remember it.
Kudos to you for saying that. That was awesome. Yeah, I thought it looked like the He-Man sword, too. I know, definitely, I think the sniper rifle could have been done a little bit differently, so maybe that some other classes could have got a chance to use that, because the weapons, while as cool as they are, they don't cover every class, so it'd be kind of cool if they could get and let something for every class in the game. And then they also had story time with Charles Boyd, where they discussed some of Chapter 11 and also the upcoming Chapter 12. I thought it was kind of cool they brought Charles into this, since they did not have any story live streams anymore. But they brought him back, and I think they're going to continue to do that occasionally. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, he talked about the, like you said, the upcoming chapter, which is going to be called Visions in the Dark. And he said that it's going to combine elements of the last two chapters, things like either information that we got or decisions that we made in those two chapters, and that we're going to have to turn to Valkorion for help. He also talked about how this chapter will start to involve more things like the Force, Prophecy, and Destiny, and that we're going to get to spend some time on Odessen, leaving the sort of starting area of Odessen and actually explore the world a little bit.
That's going to be definitely nice to do. They also talked about a new companion. And Sakari, what's the name of the new companion?
Yes, so I did practice this before we started. The name is Akal Ussar. You have to say it from the chest. So just whenever you say Ussar, is to come right from the chest. So.
I want to hear JT say it.
Ussar.
Nice.
What about you, Jess?
Akshal. No, wait, I got it wrong. I'm already screwing it up.
Akal Ussar.
I thought it was Akshal. Is Akal?
Yes, with a G.
Oh, darn it. Okay. Akal Ussar.
There you go.
Well done. And I guess we're going to find him in a hidden temple on Yavin 4. So for all you lore junkies, we're going back to Yavin 4, which I think is kind of cool. We get to test out some of the past planets and explore those a bit more.
And he's a Dashad, right? Like Kemval.
Correct.
They had a little bit of a Q&A session, too, with Mr. Boyd, where they took the chat questions. And somebody asked what happened to Alara Dorn in the Havoc Squad, since, of course, Havoc Squad is the main focus with this Eric Jorgen chapter, and she's noticeably missing. And his answer was that perhaps it would make sense that Suresh would have not allowed her close to Republic forces because of her Imperial ties.
Kind of local trouble?
Let's just say we'd like to avoid any Imperial entanglements.
Well, that's the real trick, isn't it?
Yeah, that's one of the things I like about the character of Suresh, is that she is, for the Republic, I hear some echoes of what happened with Palpatine, where the Chancellor starts to get a little bit too powerful. And so I'm very interested in upcoming chapters about what'll happen with her.
prediction, Valkorion takes over Suresh. Just saying.
That's interesting. Like you said, Charles Boyd was on the this particular live stream, and they may bring him back, but they're not going to have a separate live stream. They're going to be doing a story vlog or a video blog, and they released the first one of those today. It was just short. It was like a minute and a half, and we'll have that linked on our show notes. The next producer live stream is going to be on April 5th. Also, there was a patch this week, and we'll have those full patch notes linked in our show notes. The only other thing, of course, is that the Agree event is back. That started this week, and it'll go through the 15th. So let's move on to community highlights. This week, of course, we had the Passionately Casual Roundtable, our very first roundtable, and it was an exciting one. We had some fantastic community leaders, and we brought them together to discuss how we as players can have fun and add events and enthusiasm to our game.
Okay, welcome everybody to the Passionately Casual Roundtable on player-generated content. As we all know, there has been since 4.0 went live, BioWare has been kind of scant on the team-based PvE content. And so there's been a little bit of backlash in the community, and people have been kind of wondering what is the future of raiding in this game. And as a result, there's a little bit of saltiness out there, and there's been a lot of discourse about that. On the tail end of that, though, we're starting to see a resurgence in people coming up with their own content. Some player-generated content, people have been doing their own things. And so we thought at this opportunity, it would be really good for us to just get a few people together, some of the minds and people that have been doing some really cool things recently, and just have them together and get them all into one room and see what everyone's been doing and just kind of get a group discussion going on that. So welcome, everybody, and I appreciate having you here. With that started, let's go ahead and introduce our guests. We have Elion D of the Epic Guild on the Shadowlands. We have Dredd of the Utini Knights and Utini Rage Guilds. We have Brian from Bad Feeling Podcast, and then DJ Lovechild and Major Vendetta from radio-free.org. So welcome, guys. Appreciate having you guys with us.
Hi.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
That said, I thought I'd start with the first question to you, Elion. If you wouldn't mind letting us know, here recently you wrote into UtiniCast with some perspectives that were really, really challenging. And so I figured I'd let you just kind of kick us off by telling us what it is that you wrote into UtiniCast, what was your perspective, what was your sentiment, and with that, what has some of the feedback been like since?
Sure. Well, basically, I'm a pretty avid listener to most of the podcasts in the community. And I listen every week to just about every cast there is, including yours. And I usually listen to them multiple times a week. It's like my radio. So that's my thing, you know, late at night or maybe when I'm driving, I listen to the podcasts often. And I noticed, you know, over the last few months, couple of months, that I just definitely started to notice an increasing saltiness, both somewhat in the podcasts themselves, not all of them, but and also in the feedback, you know, from the community and whatnot. And at first I was kind of neutral about that saltiness, but as it escalated, I started to notice that I really didn't enjoy listening to the casts anymore as much as I usually do. And I was like, what? Why am I not enjoying this? And I realized, you know, it's because of all the complaining about there being nothing to do in the game. So I wrote in to a teeny cast, and basically what I was feeling was pretty much exactly what I said in my initial email. And it was, I don't understand how you can have this bounty in front of you and basically be complaining about how you have nothing. It's sort of like, you know, I hate to say this because I know this is going to upset some people, but it's sort of like poor little rich girl, you know, like your daddy gave you a Mercedes and you're complaining because it's a C-Class. And not, you know, the 750, you know, BMW or whatever. It was kind of like that. You know, there's a lot going on in this game. And there's so many things to do that I just couldn't understand why people wouldn't just branch out and broaden their horizons and look for something new.
Yeah, that definitely resonated with me a lot because, as you know, I put out an article as well on my website and kind of took that that chill reading of your input and then kind of put that together, and it got some. And I actually put it on Reddit and got quite a lot of you know, pushback as well on that. So it was very interesting. I was just interested in maybe what kind of feedback you had gotten about it personally. Have you had any positive feedback? Has anyone told you about any good things that have happened or that have happened?
Well, you. Yes, and I'm here.
Yes, indeed.
You know, I generally avoid Reddit, so I'm not aware of any of the pushback or negative feedback, really. And, you know, there was a little bit from the cast, you know, the Utini cast people, you know, responding to it. A little bit of negative there, but you know, it's the people who are feeling this way, this disgruntled, you know, way, they have a very set opinion and they have a very set behavior. You know, this is what we do. We do this. This is all we do. This is all we're interested in. We're not interested in anything else. We don't care about other points of view. We don't care about other content. We only want this. And if we don't get this, we're not happy. So, of course, the feedback is going to be negative because we're trying to get people to move to it in a different direction or at least expand and go in multiple directions.
Right, absolutely. And that's kind of why we got a lot of you guys together, is that every one of you have kind of done your own thing with it. You know, Dredd, we have you here because you are kind of the lead architect or the mind behind the whole month of events that the Utini Guilds have done. And so I was wondering if we could have you just kind of walk us through what those were and explain to us, you know, how they all went and let us know what the feedback was on those.
Right. I had a month of events in February. They consisted of a pod race, a scavenger hunt, a Ooze Datacron race, and also a conquest race. So we got a lot of good feedback from it from within the guild. Initially started off wanting to do it just for the guild, because I noticed like a lot of us were leaving. Like our core raid group has now left. And there's not much activity going on in the guild other than when people come in for the different chapters. Basically wanted to get more interaction with the group of people that I play with. I mean, these are people, you know, they're on your screen every day and we talk to each other in guild, and we just looking for different things to do to outside of the game, inside of the game, to get to know each other a lot more and a lot better, you know. So that was your main drive behind the events, really.
So, you know, based on those events, did you go places looking for ideas, or did you have a lot of them on hand already to begin with? Had you done them before? What was the inspiration behind those?
Right. To be honest, it took a lot of sleep last night, and this is no joke. I mean, I literally stayed up way longer than I should have, thinking about what could I do to get people involved and, you know, just interacting with each other and not just reading and not just grouping for PvP or GSF, you know, just get people together and do fun stuff, you know, things that aren't there in the game right now. And so that was basically it. And I did spend a lot of time thinking about, you know, what I could do. I knew the pod racing thing was something that was thrown out into the community, and they kind of rejected it because they said because of lag. It wasn't something that they would have wanted to do. But, you know, I found an interesting way to get that done. And so, yeah, you know, I just took it from there.
So you guys did a pod race. What were some of the other events that you ran?
So the first one I ran was a scavenger hunt. So basically I took like a list. I came up with a list of things for people to find all across the galaxy. And so they had a 2-hour time limit to get it. And whoever came either got everything or came back to me with the most amount of things. Everything had points attached to it. And whoever came back to me with the most amount of points pretty much won the event. The next one was the pod race. And basically, I just did a circuit around Hoth because it is a natural ring. So I did that one. And then I did one on Alderaan. And I chose Alderaan because it's hilly and there are a lot of different ways that you could go. You could get to a certain spot. The third one he did was the conquest event. And that was basically just taking whoever got the most conquest points on that week wins hands down. And the fourth one was the Datacron race, which we had a lot of fun with. You know, it's getting to the hard Datacron. Whoever gets to the Datacron first wins. And that came out really good.
Yeah, absolutely. I listened to all of those. That Datacron one was one that I personally would have probably been interested in jumping in on because I kind of like a lot of platforming. So personally, okay. That would have been awesome. Yeah. Did you get a lot of people that were interested in the community and maybe jumping in or maybe hoping that you would open it up?
We did. After the first night, Theo emailed me and said, man, maybe we should open this up to the wider community. And I said, yeah, by all means, we'll get people to join through the Utini channel. But unfortunately, not a lot of people have come in from outside of the guild. We had like two people transfer their tunes out from wherever they were, and they came in to the guild just to take part in the event. So, I mean, all in all, it was successful, but I'm running it again in March for the IMSIDE. So I'm hoping that a lot more people, and it's open to the server on the Harbinger. And so I'm just hoping that a lot more people turn out to the events.
Right, absolutely. That was a great in-game idea that you guys had come up with and you were doing that. Brian, kind of turning to you, you guys recently did the Bad Feeling Cantina. Do you want to explain to us what that was and what that was all about?
Yeah, sure thing. So it's been about 2.5 years since I'm in Austin, and the last Austin Cantina was about 2.5 years ago. And, you know, we were watching the calendar, waiting for Austin to come up again, and it never did. And I guess it was the end of 2014, the Utini Cast guys hosted a meetup during what was going to be an official Cantina event. If you remember the story, BioWare changed the timing of the Cantina event, but the Utini Cast guys still had their meetup, and it looked like everybody had a really good time. So there's a new PAX in Texas, a PAX South in San Antonio, which is just a quick drive down the road. So we figured, why don't we, like everything else, why don't we mirror what Utini Cast does?
And everybody's stealing their ideas.
Well, you know, on the shoulders of giants, right? So we kind of did the same thing. And so when we were planning it out, I was in contact with Eric Musco, community director, and, you know, he was all for it. He wanted us to do it. And since it was close enough and during a convention, we actually had a handful of BioWare people show up and hang out and have some drinks and talk to us. So it was a real good time. You know, we got a bunch of people, SWTOR players and video game players all together and met at a bar and add alcohol and fun ensues.
Yeah, it sounded like a lot of fun. And how was the turnout?
Turnout was really good. I really had no idea what to expect. So we had a couple dozen people showing up, and the venue that we chose was probably a little too small. So we ended up having people out on the patio and people out in front of the venue. And so if we do it again, we're going to plan a little better, I think. But we also had Eric Musco was there pretty much all night. And I felt bad for the guy because he was taking some abuse. He was in full QA mode, just answering questions. Anybody would come up and, you know, hand him a drink and ask him about nightmare loot or ask him about, you know, story content. And he was great. I think he had a good time talking to people. And then we also had Charles Boyd show up too. So it was nice. People were trying to pick his brain for story spoilers the whole night.
To me, it's like having, you know, everybody there all at once, and it's a player designed event is something that's, to me, very novel. You know, to have, I know that guilds will meet up from time to time and they'll hang out and maybe meet each other and stuff, but for you guys to have opened it up was really cool. You know, and I tried desperately to be there actually myself, you know, since I'm only just a stone's throw down the road as well. But I appreciated hearing, you know, what you guys had to say, had to do with it, you know, so thank you for that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And like I said, we're probably going to make it at least an annual event or maybe host something locally in Austin during the summertime.
Yeah, that sounds great. So, you know, we have already people that are doing some things. So we have people that are doing things in game. We have people that are doing things out of game with things like this Bad Feeling Cantina. There's another thing that's going on, and that is with Major Vendetta and DJ Lovechild. You guys are running Radio Dash free. Would you like to tell us a little bit about how that goes and what it is that you're doing, that project?
I'm not sure it's a project, but it's kind of more of a
labor of love.
There you go.
The way of life.
We just ended up, well, I'll tell you my story. About almost 2 years ago, I stumbled upon this crazy party on Nar Shaddaa, and it was with a different guild at that time. And I got involved, and just within a couple of months, that guild fell apart, and I got dragged kicking and screaming into Radio Free. And now I'm a guild leader and a DJ, and of course, Love Child is the one that's in charge of all this mayhem.
Well, I wouldn't call it mayhem. More organized chaos with a side of eggs. Radio Free, or actually the events we do, we are completely a social guild. We do not raid. We do not PvP or Galactic Starfight. We can do that with any other guild out there. And we have a lot of friends that we do things like that with. But we have live parties. Right now it's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we give the community a chance on pretty much any day of the week to come out and just relax, hang out, be social with each other, RP if they want to. We do have contests and events that we do plan and execute. It's just, you know, it's just a great time for us.
And people seem to enjoy it as well. I mean, we end up with quite a few people, especially on the weekends.
So it's very highly social. Like, do you guys get people out of the guild that jump in and in some of your events?
Oh, it's driven purely by people outside the guild. We have anybody who's in the guild, of course, they show up. But a majority of the people who come to our events are not in guild.
Right. It's completely outside. We put the parties together and the events together and we do it, but it's for everybody else. People from different guilds, different factions, different play styles.
That's why we have it on places like Nar Shaddaa and
Rishi,
where both factions can go. We don't have it on Fleet or places where only one faction can show up.
Right. Love Child, you mentioned that there's some RP stuff involved. How does that factor in? How do people end up RPing as a result of some of these events or during them or however?
Well, I think, you know, it's a place for, as a social event, you know, you have a large number of people who gather and you're going to get people from the RP community to show up just so that they can RP with others that they didn't, you know, that they haven't met before. And there have been several times during, I don't know how many events we've done, but whenever I'm up there and I'm, you know, doing the music and running the event, I'll always see some sort of RP action going on.
What have been some of your most memorable events so far? Is there anything that you remember from doing these events that stands out to you?
For me, or Vendetta?
I guess let's start with you, Love Child.
For me, it's the holidays. Christmas, Yule, Life Day events. We always have a big thing on May the 4th. It's for me, it's the holidays. It's so many more people show up. We have a great audience. We have a great support staff. So, you know, those are the events that are most memorable. Those are the events that I remember the most, actually.
And Vendetta?
Oh, gosh. They're just, the problem with this is that every time you get in a live environment, you're on the air, everything's unscripted, you just never know what's going to happen. So it could be some random event happening that makes a night special. Because, you know, we get up there, we turn the radio station, well, the radio station's always on, but then you go live as a DJ, people are dancing, they're talking, they're visiting in Say Chat, and that's where the RP happens, and then somebody starts talking, and you get a whole conversation going with this large group of people. We've had as many as, you know, 50, 60 people show up at one of these events, and it can get crazy. One of my favorite events actually was on another server. We do cross-server events when people want us to go over to their server to do parties. And they had a PvP dance party kind of a thing. They did PvP, and then it's like everybody came and danced afterwards. I don't know if any of y'all came to that. But we had an absolute blast.
Right, you have everyone hanging out together. Somebody dropped a keyword to me that there are weddings involved in some of these things sometimes. You guys ever had a wedding or something? Is that in the RP thing?
Oh, heavens, yes. I've been to several. Several guildmates have gotten married.
I've officiated over 2 different weddings.
I want to go to your party.
And of course, there's always a dance afterwards. You're more than welcome to come to any of our parties.
And if we do a reception, we will play the chicken dance for you.
All right, nice. Albite, what's the chicken dance?
Oh, no.
You don't know what the chicken dance is.
I asked the question.
I have the Pee Wee Herman dance emote.
Oh, that's T-Har?
T-Har, yeah, I couldn't think of it. Yeah,
I have it. When I first started this, you have 3 basic dances is what you come with. And I thought, man, there is no way I'm going to buy those dances. I mean, because they're too expensive, especially when I went and looked at them on the GTN. And sure enough, I've got pretty much every single one of them over the past 2 years. Some of those are quite expensive.
I just wish the ones that are like on the dance menu that haven't been released, I wish they would get released.
It was like headbang. We could really use a good headbang.
Cross arms, headbang.
There needs to be a shoegazer dance too, right?
Well, shoegazer. Yeah.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
That's actually bop on a nail tune.
The guy bop, yeah.
Yeah, that's the standing
they
on the wall.
Have the twist also.
Well, as a metal guy, there's a thrash emote, and that's just no. It's just totally wrong.
I think obscene is the word you're looking for.
How about the Macarena?
Crickets.
Well, no I think checker. That the thing that all of these events have in common, or everything that you guys are bringing to the table, is that the game exists with us because we're the community and we're what creates the experience that we're having. And that conversation, Elian D, that you sort of started or brought to the public eye with your letter to Utini has sort of just kind of brought all this to the surface, and that's why we're talking about it. It's these things are happening. It's not like you guys just started doing these things. I know that Radio Free has been around for quite some time. I've known them for over a year and known of their existence and their great parties. Of course, the Bad Feeling people have been doing their thing, and I know that the Utini guilds have been doing their thing. So what it is just about raising awareness, right? And that we are the game, and there's no reason for anybody to say that there's nothing to do. So I guess my question for you guys is, how do we infuse this positivity and this, yeah, there is something to do, into our communities, into the broader community, and have a positive experience for everyone? So I guess I'll just bring it back to you, Elian D, since you're the propagator of all of this discussion, and ask you, what are your ideas for making the community a positive and active one?
Oh, no, I never intended to be a propagator. I guess I'm sort of an accidental propagator.
Instigator.
Yes, instigator, troublemaker.
Rebel rouser.
Rabble rouser, rebel. Yeah, those are good words to describe me, actually. I'm a bit of a rebel. Well, I would say, I think what the guys, what DJ Lovechild and Major Vendetta are doing is fantastic. And I wish things like that were going on my server. I don't even know where to start because the guild that I'm in is going through like a transition phase right now. So it's kind of recruiting, and we merged with another guild, but then we didn't. It's a whole thing. But I would say that, you know, as, you know, kind of leaders in the community, we should set the example. So I would say, you know, let's find a way to get together. I mean, maybe we get together on Ebon Hawk and we promote that, and we get the podcasts in the community to promote that these events are happening, much like Utini Cast promoted Dreads events. And then if there's a concerted effort by the leaders in the community to promote that, I'm sure we can get BioWare to jump on board. At the very least, we can have even an official thread in, you know, on the forums, right? Or a thread on the forums where it's kind of like this central place where people can post events and stuff, because we can't be the only ones doing this. I mean, when I look in chat, there's stuff going on all the time in groups. So maybe we do a thing where we server hop, especially now that it's so cheap. We probably all have enough characters that we could have characters, you know, on different servers, and we server hop and do events and we promote them. That's a concept.
Yeah, one of the things that has definitely kind of occurred to me along the way is really it's our attitude. It's that we pick that we're going to have is that, you know, like we're going to get what we're going to get. Sometimes there's going to be really dry spells like this within the PvE content. Sometimes there'll be a lot of PvE, you know, or PvP. Sometimes we're going to get, you know, what we're getting now where it's a lot of story. And sure, you can experience all of that. But it's, you know, we as the players don't have to, you know, we are the community and we can kind of take things over and do things that we want to do as well. You know, and so that's one of the things that I've enjoyed, especially Brian, listening to you guys, is that you guys, you guys are also struggling and experiencing some of the issues yourself, you know, even with your recent jump from one server to the other. Where was it that you guys were from?
Well, we originally started out on the Zheng Ma server, which has got the most complex rule set. It's an RP PvP server. And not a whole lot of people are playing on that server right now. I think if you look at the conquest list, you know, there's guilds in the top 10 that no one has met their individual goals with less than 25,000 points every week.
I think I went to Fleet last week on Zheng Ma, and there were like 13 people in only a single instance.
Yeah.
How do you RP PvP?
Yell
war cries. Sure.
Yo, backslash yeah. Say, I'm sneaking up on you to stun you.
I'm going to kill you now, like, and here's why.
But I wanted the server with the most letters on it, because when I started playing this game, I didn't know what they meant. So I figured more is better. But
yes, those decisions.
Yeah, so that's where we started, and not realizing what I was getting into. And yeah, there were nights where the eight people in my guild on for a raid were the only eight people on Fleet. There were times when whatever planet we went to, we were the entire population of that planet. So we migrated to Shadowlands, and it's been fantastic. You know, it's a much healthier population, and you can still RP and you can still PvP as much as you want. So, but the point I was going to make is that, you know, the big complaint now is that this is a single player game and all the content they release is single player. Well, and there's some truth to that, but there's still a million people playing at the same time. So it's kind of up to us to wrangle people into doing stuff together. And all that stuff still exists, much like Elyon said earlier, is that you can still do heroics. You can still, you know, do a Datacron run. You can still do operations. It's just a matter of wrangling people together and having that will to want to play together. So it's not right now. Obviously, BioWare's not going to give us another operation or another Flashpoint anytime soon. So all that stuff already exists. We just have to take advantage of it. And it's up to us. If you want to play with more people, just grab some more people and do something.
And really, yeah. The existing ops and Flashpoints, you can get a group together and do them differently. Like, you know, since the new update, you cannot overpower a level, meaning, you know, a level 60 can't go into a level 20 instance and still be level 60. That took a lot of the fun away whenever we would actually do Flashpoints without weapons. We would go in and do fisticuffs.
Nice.
Or we would run the whole, you know, mission naked.
Yeah, we used to do a naked world boss hunt.
Exactly. But, you know, since they've nerfed our own tunes to where if we go back to, say, Tatooine, we're all level 30 again.
Yeah, they just kind of took all the fun out of it.
I don't know, but being on a PvP server, one of my biggest complaints was I would always be ganked by a max level character while I'm leveling. So I'm pretty okay with level sync, actually. And it sounds like
the level sync was done just for the PvP characters. So my next question is PvP that big in the game that they're catering to it?
I think it's something, well, it's, obviously, I don't have the numbers, but I think it's something that a lot of people at least try. You have those two companions that force you into PvP, and it's been 2 years, more than 2 year anniversary since the last Warzone map came out. So it feels like it's been neglected, and it's time for them to dust it off a little bit.
To force me to have to do that just to get a companion, because if you don't get that companion, you don't get to move forward. That tune on Odessen won't give you any more companion quests.
So you're feeling we're kind of being channeled into some of the group content. Maybe I don't consider PvP
group content.
Well, I would. It's still group content because you're doing it some with other people. So
I was just gonna say, I think that's actually one of the things. I mean, I do play a lot of solo content, and I don't do a lot of raiding, although I've done it and I enjoyed it. And I definitely don't do PvP, although I have done it and died a lot. But I think that's actually part of the problem, is I am not a masochist. And I am not interested in playing a game which I am supposed to be having fun at and going into an environment that is hostile.
And being forced to do it.
Yeah, that too. I mean, it didn't bother me so much that I couldn't get the companion without doing PvP, although as a completionist, I could definitely see a problem with that. But what I don't like is when people complain that you don't know how to play, and then they say, you know, learn to play, noob. This is not an attitude that is conducive to increasing the size of the player base for the content that you are complaining about people not playing.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no, go for it. Go ahead.
What I was going to say is, you know, back after the HUD expansion, I had all my tunes maxed out at that point, and I decided to try PvP. I used to be, in other games in the past, I was one of those elite players who played PvP all the time. But whenever I came into Tor's PvP, you know, I was already at the point to where, by God, I wanted to have some fun. And I knew I was under-equipped, and I knew that I was going to be, like Vendetta said, I was just going to be a whipping boy there on the grounds. So I started to have fun with it. You know, I would run around and scream like a little girl, and I would hide, or I'd throw a snowball at somebody instead of using my weapons, or, you know, just trying to find some way to break the monotony of it.
Oh, and those PvPers take it seriously because they get nasty in chat and then they whisper you.
That's kind of the mindset of that, of some of that player base. But also keep in mind, you know, this is something that's fun for them. So if you want to branch out and explore more, because I was in the same boat when I first started, I hated PvP, absolutely could not stand it. I go in, I die, I don't do any damage, everybody gets mad at me, I don't know what I'm doing. And that happened over and over and over again until finally Chuck kind of put it up to me. He said, you need to just commit to this, learn the maps, learn your class better, learn to figure out what makes this fun for other people. And it took me about a week of dying and losing every single war zone, which was absolutely miserable. And I finally started to click. I started to, you know, stay with it. And now I understand why it's fun. I understand why people are so dedicated to it. It's because it is, you know, the fluidity of the combat and the randomness of the matches and just the environment that you're in is like anything, unlike anything that PvE can reproduce. So if you look at other people, they're having fun doing this. That's why they do it, right? If you kind of try to get into that mindset and learn about it, and it may be painful, you know, it's like, I don't know, freshman year economics or whatever. It was painful, but some people enjoy it. If you stick with it, you may find that you'll enjoy it too. But I would, you know, much to Elian's point, though, is that all these things are out there. PvP is out there. I used to hate it. Now I got into it. GSF is out there.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there because I play this game to enjoy it. I took economics, freshman economics in college because I needed a degree. This is my form of entertainment. And to force me to do something I don't enjoy will drive me from the game.
But
right. Well, I would guess that the others, that the people who are complaining about a lack of operations and new flashpoints might say the same thing, because they would say they don't enjoy not doing operations, and they don't enjoy not doing flashpoints, because that's the kind of group content they're used to. So while I totally agree that with you, Vendetta, me as someone who is not really terrified, but just averse to doing PvP, I have actually lately been seriously considering it, because I'm finally at the point, and it took me all this time, where I have really good gear, and I'm starting to finally learn my class after all this time. And I actually went on the PTS this week looking for this new Warzone to see if I could play it. I couldn't find it. I don't know what's up with that. But I'm actually interested in trying PvP. And Brian, I was listening to your podcast a few weeks ago where you guys, I think, were talking about PvP and dying over and over, and you just have to die over and over, and eventually you learn it. And I thought, you know what? I could do that. I think it could be fun.
Just like economics, you have to stick with it, right? But I do want to ask you this, Elyon. You know, maybe I'm misinterpreting, you know, the letter that you wrote to the UtiniCast guys, but it sounded like my takeaway from that is there's a lot of things out there. You just got to go out and try them.
Yeah, there are a lot of things to do, and it's like Sashari said, you know, you have to find new ways to enjoy what's there. It's kind of like being married, you know.
going the wrong way.
It's like, if this person is boring you, you got to find new ways to enjoy the company of this person. Otherwise, you're going to get divorced.
I think that's a really good point, because sometimes we do kind of take for granted the game and the beautiful environment that we have. And I think that there's things for everybody to do in this game, and that no matter whether you like working with a large team, like in a raid situation, or if you prefer a small group, like a flashpoint, if you like to do your leveling, if you prefer to do PvP, or if you like to decorate your stronghold and pick out new outfits, I'm talking to myself right now, then there's something that you can do. But I think that as a community, and as, you know, dare I say, leaders in the community, at some level, at least people might listen to what we say. I think it's important for us to maintain that positivity about the game, and to maintain the fact that there are going to be content valleys in any game. And it's up to us, if we love the game and if we want to stick with the game, which is always, of course, optional, then we find the things that we love about it and we embrace them, and we find new things to love about it and we embrace that. One of the things that we've done with Utini and their guilds is that we're going to do some sort of cross guild events. So they have a very active guild. We have a relatively active guild also on the same server. So we have a unique opportunity to bring a lot of players together and to do some events that, you know, like kind of putting two minds together for as far as planning events and two communities together and tearing down those walls that are guilds and cliques and all of that stuff, and bringing a larger group together. So I think there's some exciting things in store for our community. And as we start to brainstorm and think more and more and retain that positivity and that passion for the Star Wars universe and for our friends that we've made over these 4 years in game, that there's really a chance for us to have like a better game than ever. So I feel very positive about the future, and I do think that there's other content coming down the road. There's the story content, and there's some Warzones coming, and there's different things. But I think that ultimately it's up to us to be happy in this game and to love it. And I think it's great that we brought people together here today that love the game and can find things of beauty in it.
Yeah, I think Knight wrote in to UtiniCast last week, and he was saying, talking about the burnout and finding new ways to experience things. And then you, I hate to sound like a stalker, Jesse said,
How does my furniture look from the yard?
Oh my God. I'm like that guy from Frasier that has all the recordings of all the Frasier episodes.
Oh my God. Okay.
No, I'm not. I don't have recordings.
No, but you know what? The fact that you just mentioned Frasier right now, you're going to actually be my favorite stalker, because that's my favorite show ever, ever, ever on TV.
That's great. I love that show. I watch it on Netflix all the time, binge watch. It's my latest binge watch, although I've watched it when it was on too. Anyway, but what you were saying about how you like to savor the environments that you're in, and how Knight was saying, you know, slow down, because I think the rapidity of content consumption is also a problem. You know, it was a problem when the game first came out, and to some degree it's still a problem. I can count on my hands the number of times I've done an operation, although I enjoyed it thoroughly every single time. You know, I really do enjoy doing operations, and I really do enjoy flashpoints, but I also enjoy other things. And one of the things, though, that I don't like about doing operations in flashpoints is how fast everybody likes to run through the instance. And I'm standing there in this gorgeous room that all of these artists have spent hours and months creating this beautiful environment. And I just feel like it's disrespectful not to at least take, you know, 10 or 15 extra seconds to take it all in and just savor it, how beautiful it is.
Yeah, when you get into a flashpoint and everybody's like, why aren't you space pouring through the conversations?
Exactly.
No, I remember.
I want to hear what they have to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember feeling that way, stepping into Terra from Beyond, getting past the first, second boss, you know. So you get into some of those gree areas, and I was just mind-blowing to me how that background, you know, design is. They've really done a good job with some of the environments, you know. And what you're saying resonates with me, because I have spent a lot of time in the game just kind of looking at the environment and exploring, you know, the world, you know. I guess, part of the attitude is just – maybe the ability to just pick up on something that is smaller, usually something that you rush through, that you're just kind of moving through very quickly to consume the content and get to the end. Sometimes when you go back and you try it a little slower pace and enjoy, you know, and savor some of that, it's pretty good.
Sorry, I think one thing that we're all attracted to in the game is the storytelling. And, you know, there's cutscenes in a flashpoint and lore objects that tell a story. You know, there's an environment, you know, where there's a guy on the beach in Rishi hitting golf balls into the ocean. There's a little story there.
We actually have a party there.
Oh, nice. And I think we do ourselves a disservice by running through as fast as you can because you've done it 100 times already. Well, you know, stop and smell the roses type thing. You're there. If you're there to play with a group of people, it really shouldn't make that big a difference how long it takes.
Now, recently, I have rolled a brand new tune. And the reason why I did this is that I am writing a humorous story. But I found myself taking my time now. Not rushing through the conversations, taking every quest I can find, and at the same time, actually enjoying the planet that I'm on while I'm on it. You know, actually going out and exploring more of Taurus than what you did originally, you know. And going back to something Jesse said, it's about, you know, when it comes to finding new things to do, it's something that it's so easy. To use two things Jesse said, and as soon as she said them, two ideas popped into my head, which was, you know, she's talking about Stronghold. Why not get a guild together and do some sort of this old Stronghold event? You know, pick somebody, get permission, go in and take all their furniture out.
Stronghold Crashers.
And then redo it.
Love it.
Or if you're into the different costumes and everything else, do something like Sith Eye for the Straight Jedi, where you grab some guy or woman or whatever from the game and just give them a complete makeover.
Yeah, or something like bare knuckle boxing with the legacy punch emotes.
Those are awesome.
We have pictures of a couple of guildmates doing that.
Yeah,
I would love to have a fashion show.
You
need to come over.
We've got something going on that you might be interested in.
Really? I'm seriously considering. I'm so married to my server. I just love, because I have all my stuff there.
You need to create a tune on Ebonhawk. And you know that all your legacy stuff goes, well, not all your legacy stuff, all your
decoration
stuff. Yes. Will follow you to the new server.
Yeah, you know, I am seriously looking at transferring one of my tunes. Actually, before we did this podcast, I thought, you know, I am going to roll a new Sork or Sage, because that's my favorite class to play, and put it on both, you know, do Harbinger and Ebonhawk so that I can do these events.
Now, you said you like the costume thing and all that. So I'm going to give a shameless plug to radio-free.org right now. This week we're advertising it. Next week we're actually doing a week-long costume contest. You have to match your mount and a pet. And every night...
Actually, Garrett's going on this week.
No, it's next week.
Are you
sure? The actual contest is the week of St. Patrick's Day.
Oh.
But the thing of it is that every night that we have a live DJ, there will be two winners from each faction. And those winners will go to our Saturday night final party, where they'll be competing against everybody from all the other nights.
Cool. So do I get to use that ugly green die that I can't put anywhere?
Of course.
As long as you have a green mount.
There is a new thing where you can buy a green skin or something for your ACDog or something.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there is an ACDog customization. I'm only aware of the red and the blue one. Maybe there's a green one now, too.
Oh, green eyes. That's what it is. Sorry.
Oh, right. Yeah, yes, green eyes.
All right, guys, with all of that said, I just want to say thank you very much for coming to join us and talk a little bit about kind of a shotgun of things. We as this community are playing this game and we're all in here together. And, you know, between PvP and I guess running around on servers looking at backgrounds and enjoying some of the things that we haven't seen for a while and putting together parties and both in and out of game, there's an awful lot as a player community that we can do that is something that we can generate that we don't have to wait on BioWare to lead for us. And I think one of the things that's important for us all to know and to bear in mind as we go forward is that we are content creators as well as BioWare, and we enjoy that together with them, I think, in that sense of being a part of that community. So I just want to thank you all. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for jumping in and on the discussion and for kind of going around the table with us about some of these things. And I just wanted to say thank you guys, and I hope that you guys have a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for having
thank
us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much to everyone.
Can I get my parking validated now?
Yeah, but it's only for an hour. So I want to thank you all so much for coming to join us. And of course, we'll have all the links up on how you can get in contact with all these great people. We have representatives from a few different servers here tonight. So no matter where you're playing, I'm sure you'll find something to do. And I also urge the community, if you don't see things happening on your server and in your community, take the helm and create some events yourself. And in fact, contact us at passionately.casual@gmail.com and tell us what you're doing in your guild or on your server to make community events happen in SWTOR. If everyone would like to go around the table now, we'll start with Elyon D and just tell us how we can get a hold of you.
On Twitter, I'm Clubwear USA. That's C-L-U-B, like nightclub, and Ware, W-A-R-E, like software. USA, like America. And email is eliond2@gmail.com.
So you can find me at demon_Homer. And if you join the Utini chat, see join Utini, you can catch me there pretty much every night.
Yeah, you can find my partner Chuck and I on the Bad Feeling podcast. We release that every Thursday, if you look out for it. But we're also playing on the Shadowlands server. So our guild imp side is called Has a Bad Feeling, and pub side is called Loves Twi'leks and Spice. If you just do a /cjoin Bad Feeling, we'll get you in there, and we'll have a good time.
We're actually on the Ebonhawk server, and you can reach us at www.radio-free.org. My email is vendetta, V-E-N-D-E-T-T-A, at radio-free.org. Our Twitter feed is radiofreemmo, and our Facebook is facebook.com/radiofreemmo.
And how do we get a hold of you, Vendetta?
Vendetta at radio-free.org.
Okay, I was kind of paying attention to that.
I know you were being obnoxious.
Okay. For me, of course, I'm on the Ebonhawk server. My email is lovechild@radio-free.org. If you need to get a hold of me, my phone number is 973-538-1800. Ask for the ward nurse Hazel, and I'm in room 27R. Also, if you do work for the FCC, just type in "he who makes Tom Wheeler's eye twitch" and my file should pop right up for you.
Thanks again to all of you for joining us. It's been a real pleasure having you all on here, and thanks for representing the community of your servers and the events that you're doing, and we'll see you all in game.
That was an awesome discussion. I thought that was great that we were able to bring those people all here to talk about what we as the community are getting together to create our own player events around in this game that we all love. I thank all our guests again that came. And we want to give a little shout out to Chuck from the Bad Feeling Podcast. We really wanted to have you here, but we just could not handle your PvP-ness.
I definitely couldn't handle it.
All joking aside, definitely community and everything we come across these player events are definitely important. Even as something as small as some people might think as an active voice chat. I mean, for me in Unholy Alliance, that is what got me more involved in SWTOR. I mean, I came from another guild that was just a little, I don't want to say they were less fun, but it was just a totally different structure. But when I came over here and checked this guild out, it was just something I got more involved and did less just solo stuff like that. And so definitely it was one of those things where just something like TeamSpeak and being more involved there got me doing some more group events. So that was definitely something I really enjoyed through this guild.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think our TeamSpeak can get pretty active, and you really get to know people like on a better and more meaningful level when you know you can actually chat in real time. So we definitely make use of our TeamSpeak. We also try to maintain like an out of game presence. Like for instance, we have a fairly good website. It's active. It's updated regularly, much more often than the SWTOR website. And it's current with our events and things that are going on with our members. Lots of different people in our community are posting to it. So it's not just one person like, you know, posting all the time, but it's an actual dynamic web page. I think that's important if you're trying to engender like a community in your game, because not everybody's going to be able to play at the same time. We've got people from different time zones and that are doing different things. Maybe they're just more into playing their story and they're not as active with the group events, but this is a way to tie the community together and to have like a home base for people. So I definitely say that as well, as being involved in social media. We don't really use Facebook too much in fact, we don't really use it at all for our guild, but that's one avenue. We use Twitter a lot. I like Twitter because of the sort of instantaneous nature and the back and forth nature of it and the dialogue that can happen. You know, you can follow the developers there and you can follow each other, some of the podcasts that you listen to, and really keep up to date on what's going on in game. And people are posting their events, like different guilds will post when they've got ops or when they've got different things going on. So you can get involved in the community that way. It's like an extension and it's much less trolly than general chat, but it's sort of like what general chat could be like if, you know, people weren't talking about, you know, movies with the word Jawa in them and like sex stuff. So, of course, listening to the podcast, which, you know, we all do, keeping abreast of people that are doing a lot of the research for what's going on in the game and the state of the game. So you know, don't have to do all that yourself, but there's resources for you. There's a lot of community resources. Volk is an exceptional example. We've referenced him many times before on our show and had him as a guest, but he is creating content constantly for this game and fresh new things. And he's a great way to sort of engender that community spirit and that positivity for the game. And then, of course, the player-created content, like we just talked about in our community segment, our roundtable, and that is sort of a buzzword in our community right now. So, player-created content, events, and things. So, you know, I guess my philosophy is that I see the guild and the SWTOR community as like a whole social thing. Like it can be as much as you want it to be. It doesn't have to, you know, take over your whole social life, but it can be whatever you want it to be, and you can get as involved as you want to be. You just, you know, it's out there. So those would be some of my tips.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the cool things that you can do is make up your own experience here. Like if I want to be on Twitter, I'm going to show up on Twitter and maybe on Reddit, or maybe if Reddit isn't for me, there's the forums, or if not the forums, then, you know, do this in-game or listen to that podcast. I mean, there's an awful lot that the community is coming up with, and I really like that there's so much focus on that right now because we are a part of this, you know, and it's really cool. And that's one of the things I really like that came out in our discussion, our roundtable discussion. One thing I do want to do is ask you guys what are the kinds of things that Unholy Alliance has done recently, because I am decently new to this guild. I've experienced some of them since the end of the year, sort of, but I know you guys have a whole history of things that you guys have done or events and all kinds of different things. So why don't you fill me in? Let me hear some of the things that you guys have done.
Well, of course we've been really involved for the last couple of years in the Extra Life event. So we've done big marathon events, like where we're filling up 24 hours with events, like nonstop. So we've had to come up with a lot of things, and we're very lucky we have some creative people in our guild that have helped us to do that. Some of the things that we've done last year, we saw a lot of people like come in and join us for things like the Level as Musco race. Eric Musco, of course, is the community manager for SWTOR, and he has a certain look to him. So you made your character to look like how do you say? I guess everybody has a certain look to them. Like I don't know what to say. He's, as Marshall would say, he's not a large man, and he's got a certain look with his little shaved head, or like really cropped hair. And anyway, everybody made, I hope he doesn't listen to this, bad chance. Everybody made their tune to look like Eric and named them a name that was, like Eric. And then we started at level one, and we raced to get to level, I think it was 13. And then the first one won a prize, and we had something like 25 people. And so it was a lot of fun. And we, took all these group photos together, and we made a video from it, Moves Like Musco, and, had a lot of fun with that. So that was one event. And that was not just people in our guild. We made a new guild, that we called Musco Mistake. And, so it was people from the community. Another event that is probably one of my favorites is the SWTOR Feud game show. So you guys, Sakari, the Family Feud. Have you ever seen that show?
Yes.
Yeah. So
it's awesome.
So we did it like that. We had two teams that and we had a dais or whatever, a stage where the teams lined up, and then they would come into the middle. If they have to hit the buzzer, they would get SWTOR lore related questions, and then they would have to hit the buzzer, and survey says top five on the board or whatever. And it was very well organized, and the questions were very good, and got there were people streaming it, so the people were getting involved in the stream, and then the teams, and I thought was an extremely successful and creative event. And of course, we've had some of the things like the ice racing and the dance parties. We've had guild trivia, like where the trivia is actually about Unholy Alliance, and things to do with the guild, like name two officers in the guild. We'd do this in guild chat, and people would win prizes that way. Lots of different screenshot contests with various themes, such as the Ugly Hat contest, Spring Break. We put up a post, like a picture of a cantina with a cantina band, and the contest was to figure out which planet that cantina is on, because all the bands are a little different. And then probably our most successful contest was the SWTOR Kneel or Defy, when we were so lucky to have our dear friend Valkorion, Darren DePaul, the actor who portrays Valkorion in the game. He helped us out with promoting that, and we had a nice video, and people before the launch of the Fallen Empire, everybody could vote on whether they planned to kneel or defy to the Eternal Emperor. So that was definitely our most successful thing. But yeah, just really creative people in this guild, and I'm not taking credit for any of this. I mean, it's like a group of really talented and fun loving community driven people. So it's exciting to be a part of it. So this week, make sure that you check out the other great SWTOR and Star Wars podcasts. What have you guys been getting into listening to this week?
I got a chance to listen to the Bad Feeling podcast, their latest one that they released on Thursday. And they had a really good show, as they do always. They're talking about their ongoing war with the usual podcast guys. So that was a great show, as always, with them.
How about you, Sakari? You get into any of the community stuff this week?
Yeah, there's a couple things I got into. I listened to that Bad Feeling show as well. It was really good. It was fun to hang out with Brian for a little while. I feel like we've connected now. So You know, moving right along. I want to point this out because this one was fabulous and it was really not that noticed unless you're on Reddit. Somebody posted a solo player guide to making yourself mostly exorbitantly wealthy. So we'll make sure to have the notes have the link in the show notes. That's really good. And I'll have a link in the show notes as well to a video, a YouTube video from the Nerdist is the channel, but they have a few people that do videos on their channel, and one of the ones is it's called Because Science, and I really like that, and it's Why Kylo Ren's Lightsaber Works. It was a really good one. And Jess, I hear that you were also on UtiniCast this last time.
Oh yeah, I sure was. That was a great experience. I really enjoyed, of course, fantastic podcast and. They asked me on there to talk about player-driven events in community, and it was my pleasure to do that. It was good fun. Also, we got our poll results back. We, when we heard that SWTOR was going to grant us the ability to have all of the available strongholds open, we thought that might mean that they were going to plan to give us another one. So we started thinking about, well, where would we like to have a stronghold if we got another? So we put a poll out on Twitter. We got quite a number of responses back from it. And the overwhelming winner was Manon. That got 49% of the votes. We had 10% of the people voting for Zakuul, 16 for Rishi, and 25 for Alderaan, and I was hoping for Alderaan because that's my favorite. There were some write-in votes, and the ones that got the most love were Korriban and Voss.
I would love to see Manananan.
Manamana.
Manananan.
In Star Wars news this week, we have a fan-made film called Darth Maul Apprentice. 17 minutes long. It comes from a pair of German filmmakers by the names of V. Dan Tron and Sean Boo. It's outstanding. The production values are quite high. The combat is very engaging, and it's totally worth the 17 minutes of time that it'll take you to view it. They also have a making of or behind the scenes video, and both of those, of course, will be linked on our show notes. A very special thank you to @JustDevin for calling my attention to that on Twitter. Well, I think that brings us to the end of another fantastic episode. If you want to reach us, you can do so by email at passionately.casual@gmail.com. You can get us on Twitter @PC_podcast. Get Jason @JT_Holonet and Sakari @IamSakari. You can reach me @UnholyAlliances.
Don't forget to bookmark the Guild website. You can access it via WikiMistake.com, and remember, Wookiee has two E's, or unholyalliance.org. Check out Sakari's blog and Twitch streams at iamsakari.com.
I'm Jesse.
I'm JT.
And I'm Sakari.
Thanks for listening to the Passionately Casual podcast. Till next time, keep on playing and, I don't know, fly casual.
Manamana. 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 Manamana.